Okay, I can assume that you can all hear me. I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. As Brother Miro stated, I will be discussing specifically Matthew 25:6, and the thought, come out to meet him. This scripture must be considered in the context of all the 10 virgins. The invitation goes to all the virgins, both the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. In order to be in a position to truly meet him, to meet him with our Lord, we must have our lamps trimmed and adequate oil so they are all burning brightly. Today what I'll be doing is sharing with you my thoughts on this parable. There are many thoughts on this parable, but I believe the importance is the aspect of being prepared when we are asked to meet him. 5 were prepared and 5 were not. Those that have been prepared will participate in the marriage to our head, Christ Jesus. Once the full number of the 144,000 have gone beyond the veil, the door will be closed shut. It is my thinking that the parable of the wise and foolish virgins is an important lesson regarding our being fruitful. Having put on the fruits of the Spirit, we become successful in following our Lord's footsteps and being like Him. The Apostle Paul addresses this in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25. In this particular passage, the Apostle Paul tells us our responsibilities as footstep followers. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to make a point here about the number used of 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins. I don't think the number 5 is specific. I believe it just represents 2 different groups. I believe the 5 wise represents those that are called, chosen, and are faithful. And I believe the 5 foolish virgins represent those that have not been faithful to their consecration in following our Lord's footsteps. I think each group, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise, represent a condition of heart or fellowship. It is our prayer that we have a fellowship with brethren of like precious faith, those that are true footstep followers of our Lord. We recognize our brethren by their fruits. We must always remember, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. This crown of life is immortality. To enter into the door when requested to come to him requires our faithfulness and dedication to keeping our lamps trimmed. And with the oil of the Holy Spirit, keeping our lamps burning brightly. Now let's go back to Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I believe an important verse in this lesson is Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. This verse is important in considerations regarding our walk along the narrow way. What is our profession? Our profession and our consecration is to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, to always be prepared as footstep followers of our head. Being footstep followers will enable us to make our calling and election sure, to be faithful. look at verses 24 and 25, it tells us the importance of our fellowship. Verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another as so much more as we see the time approaching. This tells us that our brethren, our fellowship with our brethren of like precious faith is important. The Apostle Paul discusses this further in Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 8. Ephesians 4, 7. But unto us, every one of us, is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that it is that also that he is descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same as that ascended up far above all things, that he might fill all things in all. And here's the important part. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith, and of all the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, by which they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him all things who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, it makes an increase of the body unto the edifying of self in love. An important verse here is verse 11. It says, he's given us gifts as prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. It's important for us to understand these gifts and use them. That means keeping our lamps trimmed. And then in verse 16, it makes clear the power of the Holy Spirit, the oil. Verse 16 talks about the effectual working in the measure of every part makes an increase of the body itself. This effectual working is the working of the Holy Spirit. We are to edify ourselves in love, edify our brethren, and build each other up. The Apostle addresses this again, the Apostle Paul, in Colossians, the third chapter. Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. To do this, we have to have our lamps trimmed and use the Holy Spirit to guide us. Going down to verse 8, Colossians 3, verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And then verses 10 through 17 tell us how we keep our wicks trimmed. Put on the new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgive you, so also forgive them. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. To develop this love, we have to have our wicks trimmed and use the oil, the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And verses 16 and 17, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. To be able to do this, brethren, we need to keep our lamps trimmed. As James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Keeping our lamps trimmed, they will burn with the heat of desire to serve our Lord and follow him. We must take full advantage of the oil The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, which enlightens us to the glorious plans of our Heavenly Father. We must use the power and influence of the Holy Spirit to make us suitable to be part of the body. Turning back to Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17. By following in our Lord's footsteps, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in His saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. This mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, and He might have dominion over every name that is named, and not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. I believe verse 18 and 19 are very important. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory and the inheritance of the saints. And verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believed, according to the working of His mighty power? It's this mighty power, the Holy Spirit, that opens our eyes to the relationship we're to develop for our Heavenly Father in following our Lord's footsteps. This workmanship requires us to take full advantage of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It enables us to live up to the profession of our faith. It requires us to remember and understand the meaning of what the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:19-21. We're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all the things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one another in the fear or reverence of our Heavenly Father. He also tells us this in Romans 8:14-18. Having our lamps trimmed by our efforts and our desire to follow our Lord, and taking full advantage of the oil, the Holy Spirit, we are made sons of God. We are made sons of God. Verse 14:8-14 through 17, 14 through 18. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and children and heirs, and if heirs, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then in 8:26-28, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helps us with our infirmities and our trials and experiences. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knoweth that what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. In conclusion, brethren, we have a number of points we need to remember. What must we do to keep our wicks trimmed? James tells us that in chapter 1. Chapter 1, starting at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and immediately forgot what manner of man he was. And whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth in it, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. To keep our wick trimmed, we have to be actively involved in following in our Lord's footsteps. And when we hear what the Heavenly Father tells us, we do it also. Keeping our wicks trimmed means we're actively involved in putting on the fruits of the Spirit. An important fruit of the Spirit is the aspect of love. Loving our brethren. Being kind, merciful, forgiving. Putting on the fruits of the Spirit and utilizing the exceeding great and precious promises given to us. We're told that in 2 Peter, we are given exceeding great and precious promises that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. This is 1 Peter 1:4. Verses 5, 6, and 7. And besides giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they may make you that you shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, 2 Peter 1:11-12. For so an entrance shall be made unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established and present in the truth. Now here is what occurs when we're asked to meet him and our wicks are trimmed and our lamps are full of oil. This is what we must do. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So the things that we've discussed today, the fruits of the Spirit, and those things we need to do to follow in our Lord's footsteps, as it says in the end of verse 10, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. So brethren, let's strive to be in the class of the 5 wise virgins. Let us keep our wicks trimmed through our efforts to be Christ-like, and always take full advantage with the oil in the lamp, the Holy Spirit, to lead us in that way. It's my prayer, brethren, that we all remain faithful, that we will hear, well done, my loyal, faithful servant, enter thou into the kingdom of God, and may the Lord add his blessing. Amen. I would be a privilege. First of all, I want to bring to you, I failed to bring to you the love of your brethren in Sacramento. Currently I'm in Alabama with my daughter, and next weekend I'll be traveling and serving the New Orleans Convention. And I will be sure, I would like to give your love, the Croatian brethren's love, to that convention, and again, give you the love of your brethren in Sacramento. Now we can pray. Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we again come to your throne of grace, seeking your mercy. We pray that you will be forgiving of our sins and our shortcomings, and give us the strength that we need to follow in our Lord's footsteps, keeping our lamps trimmed, and our lamp full of oil of the Holy Spirit. We ask for a greater portion of the Holy Spirit in our guiding and our directions, that we may better understand your plans and purposes and the responsibilities we have in serving you and following in our Lord's footsteps. We ask a blessing on the brethren throughout the world. We know many are going through difficult trials. We pray that you give them strength, your strength and peace as you see their need. We ask that you continue to watch and provide care over our family and loved ones. And we do ask that you watch over this class in Croatia, the brethren throughout the world that are listening in and following this convention. We pray that you would bless them and open their ears and their eyes and their hearts to your truth. We do pray that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And we ask all these things in our dear Redeemer's name, Christ Jesus. Amen.